Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah's extreme karam, Allah's immense grace and blessings and mercies on us, the us, the person like me, who's not capable, who's a minor, Allah Ta'ala has given me such a great opportunity to come in your majlis, in your gathering. Allah has given me the tawfiq to sit in this gathering. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of our sitting in this majlis, and may Allah Ta'ala make this gathering a means for our forgiveness in hereafter. MashaAllah. Just to recite the name of Allah, various people, many people have left their homes and have come here. Local brethren, MashaAllah, have given sacrifice for their time, for their task and duties on this day. They've left those, and solely we all have one maqsad, one objective. Mine and yours is the same, that we have all come here, we are sat here, and for some moments just to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our intention. That's why we've come here. And this majlis, with an intention like this, these gatherings are very beloved to Allah. They are unique majalis gatherings, because these are purely, solely gathered, formed, and people sit together solely for the sake of Allah's remembrance. Allah Ta'ala says, those gatherings are very mehboob and beloved to me, so beloved to me, so beloved to me. Allah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this gathering, to the human beings, Allah doesn't look at the faces of the humans there, and Allah doesn't look at their deeds. Rather, Allah Ta'ala becomes so extremely happy, and Allah says, the overcomes to this gathering with whichever niyyah, intention, I've forgiven all of them, all of you. Subhanallah. So, this is a great reward. And maybe after this we don't need anything. All our lives we've committed sins, our lives and our records are full of sins and disobedience. We have nothing to our names. And we don't know in the time during the day, do we get tawbah? Will we get the opportunity to repent again? And shaitan and our nafs have put veils between us and tawbah, repentance. There's no status of repentance today, no importance. That we don't even realize how important is the action of tawbah. Allah has given a great ni'mah. My brothers, if we really did feel that tawbah is a great action, then we do tawbah all day long. We commit sins, we would repent, ask for forgiveness. Allah has given us a great tool, resource, that as soon as you make a mistake with your eyes or your tongue, then straight away, immediately, a person should say, astaghfirullah, Allah forgives. But our habits for doing this have ended, disappeared. The sins amass, and we don't even think that I should wash my sins or clean my sins or eradicate my sins. So my brothers, first and foremost, what the action we'll do in this majlis is that let's all make niyyah with our hearts, and a solid niyyah, proper niyyah intention, that we will make our life habit of doing istighfar regularly. It's not necessary that a person says astaghfirullah when he commits a sin. It's not necessary that we wait for the sin. No, we should do so much astaghfar. My Hazrat Nur Allah Marqad, I saw him, his blessed habit and practice, that his tongue was so regular in reciting astaghfirullah. I was surprised, I was amazed. Always Hazrat Sahib would recite astaghfirullah. What a great personality. He was a wali Allah, lofty personality. But he continued to say this. So it's not that we have to wait until we've done a sin and we recite astaghfirullah. Rather, even if we're not sinning and committing bad actions, even then say astaghfirullah, your status will be elevated. And Allah will like that. Look at this good servant of mine. That we anyway, we commit sins all the time. So what happens is that a person, he keeps cleaning his sheet. You get angry on the wife, children. You said something wrong from your tongue. Thousands of routes are open for sinning. Thousands of methods. But as soon as Allah Ta'ala has given a great action, that as soon as you commit sins, but water like Zamzam, it washes away the sins and it cools down the sins. So brothers, do you promise? It's true promise. And make this a solid promise in your lives. Astaghfirullah. Don't be afraid, I'm committing sins, I'm going to carry on sinning. We're going to sin. Of course we're going to sin. We are makhluk, we are human beings. It's written that human beings will sin. And our lives are like this, that we will continue to sin. But Allah Ta'ala says himself, what a great point, Allah said that if you don't sin, then I would remove you as an ummah and I'd replace you with another ummah who does sin and comes to me and pleads for repentance. Because Allah loves those who ask forgiveness, and we should keep a connection with Allah, that we should do an action that Allah Ta'ala likes. We're committing sins and we're washing them at the same time, and we live our lives, we continue, we try hard, so when we depart from this world, inshallah, we'll be forgiven. Okay? So there's no point in sitting down crying, I'll commit sins, I'm sinful, I'm giving up, I'm finished, oh no. Forget that. Don't worry, no problem. Allah Ta'ala has opened many paths to success, and as the generations continuing fitna problems, then the phones will open up. And for example, something else, you want to go somewhere on your phone screen, something else will come up. What do you do straight away? Astaghfirullah. That's it. Close that straight away. Close, press the X and close it. And then say astaghfirullah. If you don't do that, then that sin is attached to the heart. And then the sin drags on other sin. Remember that. Straight away recite astaghfirullah, then your finger won't go further. It won't press any more buttons. And you can experience that. But if you don't do astaghfirullah, then you will go further in sin. Then your eyesight will be committing sin. So make this a habit, my friends. There's no other tariqah for being saved nowadays. Because today we are in a generation where there are many sins. So take all of the tool, the resource, when shaitan comes and influences us towards sin, what do we need to do? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Request Allah. Our objective, remember this one point. Remember our objective of life. That there are two things we need to do in this world. Lazim, essential upon us, every insan. And what is that? That in this world, for the success, the objective of our life in this world, we need to put in front of us. So that our dunya can become good and our akhirah can become good. And we need to achieve this destination in every way or form. We need to try our hardest to achieve this. So does everyone want goodness in this world and hereafter? Of course. So what do we need to do? What effort do we make? Think from our hearts. That if everyone says, I eat chicken, I want to eat chicken and mutton and gosht. So if you feel like that, so what did you do to fulfill that desire? Did you go to the marketplace, to the butchers? No, I haven't done that yet. I just feel like eating. I just keep like feeling like eating. So if you keep on feeling that you want to eat and the mouth comes, then what will happen? Allah says, I gave you life for this reason, that our objective, our purpose of life that Allah Ta'ala has given to us is that our world dunya should be correct and our akhirah should be correct. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beautiful dua that I remember this time, the ulama ikram are sitting here and they will understand what I'm saying. Such a beautiful verse. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a message through this dua. And what is that message? That with regards to the dunya, he stated for us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, that we want to have a pure life and a nice death, a nice pure life and a good death, and without any loss, may Allah Ta'ala take me from this world. SubhanAllah. Glory be to Allah. What great, great kalam, what great teaching. SubhanAllah. That this whole objective of life is summarized in this dua. And this is our life. This is what the success we need to attain. This is what we need to achieve. So what should our life become? A pure life we get. Allahu Akbar, a pure life. And we get a good death. Yes, an appropriate death, a good death, smooth death. And thirdly, that without any loss and destruction, we leave this world. Allahu Akbar. Then the doors of paradise will open up. Do all brothers want this? Yes, truthfully, say it loudly. Do you want this, everybody? SubhanAllah. So I'll tell you the path, and we need to start the preparation from today. I'll tell you the path and the method, and we just need to prepare from today. End of story. So doesn't matter if you've wasted the years before this, but let's start from today, isn't it? Maybe Allah Ta'ala has collected and amassed me and you, all of us here together, gathered us for this reason. Yes, so we should all want a pure life. Pakiza zindagi. Pure life. Clean life. Pak means clean, pure, without any contamination. Like I want a clean cloth. Clean clothes. So clean clothes, they won't be dirty. There won't be any stains, no specks of dirt, or they're totally clean. So what's a clean life? In which there is no sign of sin, no stain of sin on the life, no stain. Yes? And this, oh no, no, it's too hard. How can we do this? What's this you're saying? It's too hard. That, for example, you're saying, how can we have a pure life? People doubt it. How can we get this? Of course it's possible. Of course it's possible. Yes, and it's very simple path. Very simple. So the pure life is such a life during which nobody has any stains or scars or specks of sins on his heart and his life. Like a pure, clean piece of cloth. No haram, no unlawful, no bad deeds. You haven't consumed anyone's wealth. You haven't oppressed anybody. You haven't committed excess against anyone. Or, mashallah, you've prayed all your salah. You have total focus on the deen. You recite the Quran. There's no sin in your life. You dislike sin. This is called a good, clean life. Yes, and you hear this, and subhanAllah, when I hear such a statement, you feel nice and drowsy and at ease. A person who has a life like this, amazing, he's like a king. A person living their life like a king, you will never think that our life should be wrong. So we don't think about this, do we? That we should have a pure life, no sin, no one's money to give or to take, no one to swear to, no one to swear at, not to backbite anyone, etc. You depart to your bed in the evening. That bed, that mattress is like the bed of Jannah, the bed of paradise. Do we want this, my friends, my colleagues? So shall I tell you the tariqah, the method? Do you want this? Inshallah. Okay. So the second point now. What was that? That all of us are going to die. So first is to have the clean life, point number one. Secondly, a good smooth death. I should think that how will my death be? Death is a severe time, a mawzu death. What is that? What's the meaning of that? The insan, the human being is dying, Allahu Akbar, at the time of death. And from Jannah, he is sent his attire from paradise, the libas. And the attire with fragrance is coming to him. And the malaik angels are coming to him with good news. And he's lying down, they're giving him ghusl, bathing him. The good news comes from paradise. The doors of paradise is opening, have opened up for him. And they're showing him, the angels, that this is where you will live in Jannah. And while he's dying, will he ever think of the world while he's dying then? No. Will anyone have any fear? All fear of grief, feel of grief or loss. Do you all want this? Of course we do. Because tomorrow we have to pass through this, my friends. All our money will stay here. The money in the banks will stay in the bank. The money in our pockets will stay in the pockets. The money wherever. If it's in the kameez, you know, even if it's 10p in this kameez, we'll leave that 10p here in the kameez, in the shirt. We'll stay there. So this is called mawzu, smooth, good death. Cool breeze of Medina will be coming, subhanallah, and you'll see that you're doing tawaf and the du'as are taking place, subhanallah. So people are sitting reading Surah Yasin for you, such a gathering. You can't realize, you don't know that I'm in Jannah or I'm on my deathbed, and you don't know that you're about to die. No severity, no hardship, no difficulty. You'll say, quickly take me, I want to leave the world, I want to go into my grave. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to have such a death, subhanallah. Ameen. Somebody was asked, what do you have to do for this? Oh, it's too hard for me to get this great reward. I have to go into the jungle, live in isolation, and do worship extreme, and read tahajjud. Oh, and he's sitting there, giving up, head in his hands. Even if we're old, we're afraid. Oh, how can I get this death that is so simple and easy? I'll get forgiven. Oh, I have to bring my kids up. I have to run to my shop and run my business. We sat there afraid. It stated, shall do such a tariqah that all your fear will come out, subhanAllah. All your fear will come out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So first, have to have a pure life, the tariqah for that, alhamdulillah. Second, a balanced death. What a great maqam. Even if one says, oh, you're talking about the walis of Allah, Bayezid had this maqam, and these people had that maqam. How can we do this? Allah Ta'ala has given this maqam and will give this status to all mu'mins, all Muslims. Allah says, everyone can attain these great heights. Will you do this, brothers? Will we try hard? Inshallah. Okay. So 2 points. Third point, what did I say? What was the third thing we need to do? Is we need to have departing from this world without any loss or destruction. What does it mean? Without any issues, we depart the world. May Allah Ta'ala forgive people, leave this world, and we're burying them and we're swearing at them. Oh, he had this much money of mine, he consumed my wealth. I gave this for a few days. He said, I'll give it back. He consumed my wealth and my house. He's taken all of my house and he transferred it. He stamped his documents like this and he made these people get a divorce. He did bad actions. He created enmity between people. In other words, when you're departing from the world, people will be cursing. But the words that come, when Allah Ta'ala Khaliq, when he says this, Allah is the creator, says that this happens. And the khalq, when they say this, when a person dies and he's being buried and they're cursing him, is this a life? That after dying is being criticized, he took this person's money, she did this, his wife this, oh, good riddance to him. Children are saying, oh, he used to pester us and punish us, and good riddance. The wife's fighting with him, bad situation. He had 3 marriages and he didn't fulfill the right of the 3 wives. He didn't treat the children properly. He's running around like a jungle life. He doesn't know about life or death. So this is called leaving the world with destruction. So we want to leave the world without problems, without people cursing us or criticizing us, that when a person is buried into his grave, when the janazah is taking place, that every man should be saying, what a very good person this was. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I was ill, he came to ask about me. I had no relationship with him. I went once and I had a need. I had to borrow some money. He had money. He said, don't worry, take this and give back to me when you're able to. Here, take the debt, take the loan. And for example, those who knew him and those who didn't know him, he benefited everyone. Even people who were not even Muslims, he benefited people and helped people. Imagine the seeing off of that person. But look at our characters. We read Quran and we do Umrah and Hajj. And we hear this. What's our title? What's the title? Nothing. Nobody regards us as good. If we change the track of life, if we change our approach and direction, if we change our focus, and it will be for the better. Because this is reality, what I'm telling you. The rest is all a story and fake objectives and career ambitions. But in this small phrase, the Prophet ﷺ, in this dua, he has given us the definition of life. Every man, alim, muhaddith, every mu'min should be worried about these three things. Allah, make my life pure. Allah, make my life full of the du'as and the acceptance of du'as. What was the first one I said? A pure life. What was the first factor that we need to ask for? What is it? Yes, we should do istighfar. We should be habitual. We're forgetting, so I'm just trying to remind you. Yes, see, this is a sort of weak class of students. They make a habit to recite astaghfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Walking, talking, sitting up, sitting down, getting up, pick something up, you're putting something down, you're working, you're doing tasks, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. So much the level of person increased. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that in every majlis, the Prophet ﷺ, where he was present, he would recite more than 100 times astaghfirullah, which is giving a lesson to these ummah. That elevate your status, look how your Nabi is reciting this. Imagine the past the Holy Prophet ﷺ has told to us. So it's about habit. It's about habit. There are many habits we decide from our mouths, things, many statements and words, many things come out. But let's make a bit of a habit here and make it a solid habit, regular. And always a person recites astaghfirullah, we drink water, astaghfirullah, standing up, astaghfirullah, speaking to somebody, astaghfirullah. When you do a sin, obviously, then the whole stain will come out from you, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And that sin immediately will be washed and clean. So don't forget afterwards, okay? Okay, the second thing what I mentioned was what? What was it? What was the second point I mentioned? The second point I was saying that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that we've asked, what are those three things we've asked? So it's lesson number one was to do istaghfirullah. Number two, lesson two was to ask Allah for three things. A pure life and a good death, a healthy death, a nice death. And thirdly, to depart from this world with the good wishes of people. We need to, after every salah, recite this dua that Allah gives us this. When we recite this dua, then the amal will start as well, inshallah. That I want to have a pure life, I want a good death, and I want to depart this world without destruction, without people cursing me. Thus, that's lesson number two. And how do we attain this now? That's the question. A pure life, a very good and balanced death. And number three, without destruction, without people's criticism and curses, we depart this world. Which deed shall we implement? Which salah shall we pray? Which wazifa or worship action or prayer shall we recite to get these three things? Yes, brothers? Obviously, if we don't do these, then we won't say, if these three things come into life, alhamdulillah. So for these three things, we need to do one action. One action, ta'alluq ma'allah. We need to strengthen our connection with Allah. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Yes, to attain these three factors into our life, we can only attain these three factors when we strengthen and make more robust our link, connection, relationship with Allah Ta'ala. We need to increase it, strengthen it. Every person with iman has a link with Allah. Every person of iman has a link with Allah. And this link with Allah we need to increase and strengthen. And as this link and connection strengthens, becomes more robust and solid, when our relationship, connectivity with Allah becomes stronger and better, when we are with Allah, then alhamdulillah, these three factors will get stronger and better. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a great, great point here. Yeah? So, for example, if I have applied fragrance and you're sat a little distance away, and you will smell, will you smell it far away? But as you get closer to me, then the fragrance, the smell of it will increase, the intensity will increase. In the same way, Allah said, I've given you iman. So Allah says, now it's your choice. That as much as you want, you can get close to me, Allah Ta'ala says. As much as you want, you can get close to me, Allah Ta'ala says. And when you get close to me, qareeb, then the fragrance will make you feel good, won't it? You'll get nice feeling, won't you? So subhanallah, when you get qareeb, close to Allah, then will you commit sins? Or will you see, mashallah, the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course you'll see Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, and you'll go further away from your sins, won't you? That's it, very simple, straightforward solution. So, don't we create a connection with everyone in the world? If we're working somewhere, let me get close to boss, my employer, so that I can get promotion, I can leave work earlier. When you go home, you want good food. Oh, I need to have a good relationship with my wife and, you know, give her some then gifts and etc. so that she feeds me nicely and gives me good etc. So you have to directly, you need to have influence, isn't it, over those people. You want something from the world, you have an older brother, you're younger, he's a shop, you need to help him, assist him, or strengthen my relationship with him so that he can help me or he'll do something with me, isn't it? So in the same way, the same principle for the hereafter, that if we want a good death, a balanced death, a nice beautiful life and an environment of Jannah, we want to die without any problems, then we need to create a link with Allah, Rabbul Alameen, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay. So everyone else, they run after the world, he's tricking me, let's make a connection with him, oh, he's trying to make a connection with me, maybe he's got some worldly need, oh, he's talking rubbish, he wants something from me, or wealth, or money, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Many people think that you're doing it for a reason. Will anybody like that you're trying to make a connection with him? But my Rabb says, I like this, that you should seek excuses to get closer to me, seek excuses, I want this, Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. Allah says, I know that this person is running after me. He wants reward. He wants Jannah. He wants paradise. He wants forgiveness. Bala is khabir and basir, qadir and mutlaq. Allah says, I know, I'm aware and I'm happy that you're seeking my assistance and my forgiveness and you're trying to get close to me. Allah says, I'm happy with that. Allah is Rahim, merciful, blessings. And we are so far from Allah. We need Allah so far from us. We want a pure life. We want an easy death. And we want to be depart from this world easily. My friends, we'll get none of the sort. None of the sort. If we don't strengthen ta'aluk ma'Allah, the relationship with Allah, if we don't strengthen it, increase it, and make it robust and solid, then we will not get these three things. So from today, everyone, promise that we are going to strengthen and make very solid the relationship with Allah every single day. Is this a true promise? So three things now we've said. Three things. So I'll ask you again. I'll come again after a couple of weeks. Will you call me? Mulana Sahab? Again? I'll come again. The first lesson, I will come through that again. Go over again. Are the students implementing this or not? Yes, so we'll revise the subject matter. So what a beautiful discussion we've already had. That from today we made niyyah, intention, that we're going to say that I'm not going to strengthen my relationship with anyone else after today. I need to not strengthen my relationship with the human beings, with the Khaliq, with the Khulq. I will strengthen my relationship with the Khaliq, with Allah, my Lord, and He. Due to that, I'll have many good connections in the world. And people ask me, tell me what to do. My boss is saying, I'm going to expel you tomorrow or sack you. I said, why will he sack you? He said, I'm unhappy with you. I said, please, I work in Sainsbury's, I've got two children, and my wife, for example, we've got problems and issues at home. We don't have expenses and money, and then, for example, then they ask me for a solution, then they get the solution, then they run away again. Allahu Akbar. So this is the people, they come, they get their solution, and then they run away. We should have a strong 100% link with Allah. We don't strengthen our relationship with Allah for world, for the dunya. We're doing it for permanent benefit of the hereafter. Always we want the permanent benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I said, what? That he said, please tell me wazifa, prayer. I said, very easy wazifa. Just strengthen the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you strengthen the link with Allah and make good niyyah, good intention, then alhamdulillah, Allah is Malik. He's the Malik of the Maliks. And your Malik, your employer, he will run after you to listen to your demands. So I told him the wazifa that I'm telling you, alhamdulillah, to strengthen the relationship with Allah. After a week he came, he said, I've got a better job. My employer promoted me, he's happy. Allah, I said, that's it. That's it. So this is the yaqeen, the certainty we should have, that everything's in Allah's control. Why should I beg and ask for people? No. Let's create the link, strengthen the link with Allah, our Rabb. And those who have a strong link with Allah, they walk big-headed around the world and wide, broad-chested, and broad-shouldered. No, they're not worried somebody to pester me, say this to me, say wrong to me. They have no problem at all. They are living in the world. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. They recite, ni'mal mawla wa ni'man nasir. Subhanallah. No one can give me any problems. Allah is going to give and feed and give water and put us to sleep and give us health. I have no worry. I don't need to beg anyone in the world. I will strengthen the link with Allah. So brothers, so now you ask me the second question, next question. That how then do we create the link with Allah to get these factors that we've discussed? What do we have to do to do that? So I'll tell you that amal now. First you will promise that you will practice on this deed that I will teach you. You'll start from today, I tell you, from today. From today, I will initiate this practice for you. Will you do this, brothers? Subhanallah, inshallah. So now you understand my words a little bit. Do you like what I'm saying? There's logic in what I'm saying or not? Yes. So this is my speech. This is my teaching and my guidance and the dhikr that I teach. So brothers, the point now is, what action do we implement to get all of these benefits we discuss? So let's look for the solution in Allah's kitab. Let's ask Allah's kitab, the Quran. Allah will tell us what is the amal due to which we can strengthen the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will tell us. Allah said in the Quran, that this is a great deed, a very great deed, that you won't even start this deed. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah again. And again, Subhanallah again. Allahu Akbar. That you won't have even started this deed, and your link with your Rabb, with Allah, will become so strong. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Amazing amal. Amazing deed. And how foolish we are, so stupid, that we don't understand. We just we dust our hands down and say, we don't want to do this deed. When a person wants to do an action in the right way, with the right application, then he attains that result. But if we use the wrong means, the wrong techniques, you won't attain what you want. Rather, you'll get lost, and then you get stuck in many other problems. That's our hal. We want good. We want to please Allah. But we go through various wrong paths and methods and practices that the wrong result comes out at the end. 30, 40, 50 years, the conclusion. 30 years we do wrong because we haven't adopted the right practice, the right method, the right technique. Such a great verse. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. We cannot imagine how great a verse this is. We say to Allah, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Such a precious verse. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That Allah, show me the right path. Allah, show me the straight path. Allah, show me the right path. Why? Because a person, he is being attacked by shaitan. He opens the path, do this, do this, do this. Shaitan tries to advise us, but there's only one path to get to Allah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So how do I get to that path? How do I recognize it? I want to be good. I want to be good. After 40, 50 years, he's lived his whole life, wasted time, and he's wasted time. He's done shirk and bid'at, innovation, dhulamat, oppression, and yaqeen, shaitan has grabbed him and influenced him. Why? Because he hasn't tried hard. That I should go to someone and ask him, what's the right path? So they can come into my heart. And people try their own ways, their own methods, the wrong methods. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the path, subhanallah, that this is a great path, that straight away at that time, you will, if you think about it, you'll get it. You'll get it, the right path. If you ask for it and think about it. Very beautiful method. Thousands of times you've heard this verse. Ulema, you've heard the tafsir, the commentary. And the same point I'm making to you. What does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? What Allah Ta'ala says? What Allah Ta'ala says? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me. Remember me. That's all that Allah Ta'ala said. Do my dhikr. Remember me. What does Allah Ta'ala said? Allah has ordered. Okay? And after the order, look. Straight away now. You haven't even started a hadith I would like to recite to you. What a great link a person gives with Allah due to this. Subhanallah. Fadhkuruni. Adhkurkum. Allah says that remember me. Do my dhikr. You're thinking that I'll remember Allah. We're trying. We make intention. Allah says think. Think that if you come towards me just 1 millimeter, yes, a hair's width, because when I heard this and I think that I should do dhikr, Allah says, you just move 1 hair's width. Allah says, your 1 hair's width of movement, then Allah says, I'll come towards you 1 handspan. Tell me how your connection with Allah has become strong within seconds, hasn't it? Hasn't Allah Ta'ala not come close to us then? Straight away now, just now you thought 1 hair's width. You thought, I want to get close to Allah. This is the thinking. The 1 hair's width is the analogy. Yes? So Allah says, I've come towards you 1 handspan. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And Allah says that if you've come to me 1 handspan, if you take a hold of the tasbih, you go further now. Allah says, go further. Next step. Allah says, you come to me 1 handspan distance. Then Allah says, I come to you 2 handspans distance. So is your connection with Allah, link with Allah being strengthened or getting less? Tell me. Isn't it getting stronger? Yes, it's getting stronger. Better. So Allah says, when you come 2 handspan distance towards me, you work hard, you make effort. And Allah says, if you then go further beyond that, and you come towards me, you walk towards me, Allah says. If you walk towards me, if you're making an effort now to strengthen your connection with me, yes, and you start walking towards me, Allah says, then I run to you and I embrace you. Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Imagine. What a great statement. What a fact. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Everything's come into this, isn't it? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Allah says, you remember me, then how will I leave you? Adhkurkum. Allahu Akbar. This is not that you found someone, you keep phoning someone, he's not picking the phone. Allah says, no. You said Allah. Allah's answer will, Allah says, I will answer you straight away at that time. And there'll be nothing left in between. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. And straight away Allah says, washkuruli. And be grateful. Be grateful. Washkuruli. Allah, great nisbat Allah Ta'ala has put with his dhikr, with his remembrance. Great connection. Great link. So strong, so clearly Allah says, this is the way of doing my dhikr, wala dhikr Allahi akbar. When a person wants to strengthen his relationship with me, Allah says, all of our qabareen, our pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, the mashayikh, they passed before us. That even now, just now, Hazrat Mawlana Sahib was saying, the Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, I remember one of his statements, so we want to strengthen our iman, and mashallah, you all pious. I'm just revising and reminding the words of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi. What a great sheikh. Thousands of books. Yes, mashur, famous scholar in the Indian subcontinent. And he stated that, look, imagine that those people are foolish. He said, those people are foolish. These are the words he wrote. That how foolish and silly are those people. They're losing out who consider, the Hazrat Qasim Nanotwi, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Hazrat Saharanpuri, Khalil Ahmad Sanpuri, and Ashraf Ali Thanwi, that when they went, these four great personalities, when we went to Hazrat Hajim Doddala Muhajir Makki Sahib, then those foolish people thought, after that people thought that, oh, this is Haji Sahib, that he is the Sheikh. People thought that after we went to him, he became famous. He said, for the sake of Allah, I swear by Allah, wallahi, Ashraf says this to you, that we know our situation. He said to everyone, he said, ask all these people around me. I had ilm, did I? We had no ilm. It was hollow. These were his words. Those uloom, they had no life in them. No substance to them. When we went to Hazrat Sahib, and we took the hand of our Sheikh, and we had his sohbat, his company, and we started doing dhikr, then the situation flipped. That our heart became full of noor. Noor ala noor became our heart. Subhanallah. Our itiqad, our certainty, our conviction, strengthen. Yes? So before, our iman was based on knowledge and was due to proofs and due to intellect and proofs and brain. But when we went to Hazrat Haji Sahib, we took his hand, then our iman stepped back from proofs and ilm, etc. We knew that Allah Ta'ala is here, He's with us, and he can see us, and we are trying to remember Him. These were His words, subhanallah. Tell me. So my brothers, why? Because the dhikr of Allah is a great deed. Allah has given His dhikr for this reason, that a person who wants to get close to me, just remember me. Start to remember me. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُولِي Allah says. Clear. Remember me, I'll remember you. Allah says, don't be ungrateful. Very simple path. Do the dhikr of Allah, my brothers. Do the dhikr of Allah. Recite Quran, pray salah, do hajj, give zakah, do all these things. But in parallel, in abundance, do the dhikr of Allah. In abundance. High quantity, and not fake or showing others, but for this reason, Allah, I'm doing your dhikr, and this is how we'll attain your nearness, subhanahu. Every amal, all our deeds will sparkle, praying salah, all the deeds that we implement, all of the deeds, all the amal that we're doing, yes, they will sparkle due to the dhikr of Allah, due to the dhikr of Allah, isn't it? Dhikr has many qualities, many, many qualities. All the actions we do will have ikhlas in them, sincerity. And when they have ikhlas, then Allah will accept all of them. Subhanallah. Yes, now here, the pious elder stated that a person will go into Jannah without any hisab, without any counting. Those people, Allah said, will go into Jannah. Allah said, those people will go into Jannah without counting, who have done dhikr of Allah and cleaned their hearts and they've got khulus. Sincerity. Those who don't have khulus, sincerity, he'll say that they have no ikhlas. He's done dhikr so much that he's what? Ikhlas, sincerity. Subhanallah. So my brothers, my dear respected colleagues, that's why we're gathered today. That's why I'm in your service today. Let's do dhikr. Yes, there are two types of dhikr that a person can do. Two types of dhikr. One is dhikr with the tongue, jahir dhikr, loud dhikr, dhikr audible. And the other dhikr is dhikr khafi, silent dhikr. Yes, so dhikr qalbi, silent dhikr, a person who remembers Allah in his heart, bringing Allah's name into the heart, which makes a person draw very quickly to Allah. This is also called maraqaba, dhikr-e-khafi, dhikr-e-qalbi. This is also, you can say, thinking, analysis, fikr, worry, concern. And this is that dhikr, to remember Allah in the heart. In the hadith it's stated, and you've probably read this hadith in Fazail Amal, and Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib, Rahmatullahi said, that one moment when a person thinks about Allah, then this is better than 70 years of worship, subhanAllah. Yes? So when you do maraqaba, And for hours you remember Allah in your heart. Allah, 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 Allah. One latifa, one lesson, two lessons, three lessons, four lessons. And you increase in the lessons and the levels. And you become nur ala nur inside, light upon light and benefit. This is such a serious action and we have looked down at it insignificant. Oh, I don't have time. Do you think I'm busy, I'm occupied, I'm busy here, I'm busy there. And this busyness, where will it take us? Allah says that you won't meet me due to being busy in the world. Or do you think that if you're busy in the world that this will draw you close to Allah? No, this does not occur. This doesn't happen like this. So we need to do all these actions of the world, but alongside and parallel we need to do dhikr. And do you know what will happen to you? That I tell you about the lives of the walis of Allah, that with this objective, in this short time, they did such great actions. In 40 years of life, Imam Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, 40 years he lived. And tell me today, his hal is what? His ilm, his knowledge, how his ilm is spread, his ulum, his knowledge, the kitabs, his fikr. Why? His fiqh. Look at his fiqh. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I put such barakah blessings into the pious good people's lives, that in a short span of time, those who do the dhikr of Allah, there is so much barakah blessings that comes into their lives, that all of their worldly requirements are full of blessings. So this is the biggest deception of nafs, that do you think that dhikr will stop you from the dunya or the deen? No, we're not going to stop. The dhikr of Allah makes you progress. Barakah, more will come. All the barakah, the blessings are instilled in the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. The most blessed name is what? Allah's. The greatest name is Allah. Allah. All the barakah are in Allah's name, my friends. So my brothers, this is a person, for example, he should stop making excuses. Dhikr is not for me, it's for him. I do other things. This is not an excuse. That person's lost out. It is lazim, essential for every person. Fadhkuruni, there's no condition here. Allah said that you don't do dhikr or you don't do dhikr. Allah said, no, dhikr is essential for every single human being. Dhikr, do my dhikr, remember me and you'll attain my name. Subhanallah. So elevated, this dhikr, those people who do dhikr, how much aqeedah strengthens, muhabbat for Allah strengthens. I remember an incident, or an event I'd like to share with you quickly. That, mashallah, this incident related to somebody came to my mind, I thought I'd share it with you. There's a tabi, and I think it was Umar bin Zubayd, possibly his name, rahmatullah alayh. And Walid bin Malik, it was his generation, his time. And he had the desire, he wanted to see somebody pious, and he got invitation, come and stay with me. He became ill. And he became ill and he got cancer. We say cancer, before maybe something, his whole leg, it was infected and the disease spread. So what happened is that everyone became upset and the kings were called, the ministers were called, the surgeons, what shall we do? So they said that the cure for this is that his leg should be cut off. The medical physician said that, the doctor said that the leg needs to be cut off. Okay, either we'll cut your leg off or the disease will spread across the body. So he said, if this is the case, then okay, cut the leg off. What else can be done? He said, okay. So when he came, he brought his instruments to do surgery. He didn't have like now the anesthetic, and there were the saw to cut the leg. And obviously they'd heat the leg, and so they'd cut the leg off and heat it so the wound would heal. So that Hazrat will give you something to drink so that you fall unconscious. So this leg will cut it so that when you wake up, because otherwise you will not be able to bear the pain. He said, okay, we can't do this. He said, I will not drink something like this, due to which I'll become unconscious and that I become drowsy. And he said to the king, that if you're not going to listen, then what can we do? He said, what should we do then? He said, just cut the leg off like this. He said, okay, if you say this, then we'll do this. But we'll have to cut the leg off, otherwise the infection will spread. So what he saw, that there were 8 or 9 men there. He said, that why have these men come? What's the need for these people? They said, these people have come that when I cut your leg, then you're going to obviously jump up and shriek and scream, and they'll grab you and hold you down. So that at least we can control you. Otherwise, totally, you will come out of our hands. You will escape. It's not a small thing, is it, to cut the leg? This is something to hear and listen to. Listen to this. So he looked at him and said, what are you speaking about here? He said, look, the tabi, the doctor said, what are you saying here? He said, look, you don't need to send them away. I have a need for these people. He said, you need these people. I don't have a need for these people. He said, they don't need to distract me or hold me down. I don't have a need for them. I have got the dhikr of Allah. That's enough for me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine. He said, I don't need to be given anesthetic or drowsy fluid or chemical or people told me down. Dhikr of Allah is enough for me. He said, how? He said, you do your work and let me do my work. Subhanallah. He said, start your work. He said, start your work. And the doctor, then he took the saw out, the bone saw, he started to cut his leg, and he started doing dhikr of Allah. It is written that the leg was cut off, and he was immersed in the dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. When the leg was cut off, he said, okay, your leg's been cut off now. He said, okay, alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah, that he gave me this opportunity, and I didn't even realize that this was being done. So my brothers, the dhikr of Allah is such a great resource that we do it with an honest heart, alhamdulillah. No problems can come into life, no problems. No difficulty, no one will become mad, nobody will go into depression, no problem will come. But just take Allah Ta'ala's assistance, where it takes time to control the heart, to teach the heart. We think that we take the tasbih up, and we can attain the rank we want within a short space of time. Wali Subhanallah, 80 years, 40 years, they remembered Allah. As Junaid Baghdadi, alhamdulillah, said that at the time of death today, I now can see the benefit of the tasbih that I did, Subhanallah. And he's saying this, Hazrat, said that this is the value of the tasbih that I did all my life, Allah. As Junaid Baghdadi, so this is the hikmah of Allah, wisdom, that immediately a person get the reward, the benefit after, but you will never be left empty handed due to dhikr. There's benefit upon benefit within the action of dhikr of Allah. The biggest benefit is this, that you are getting closer to Allah upon reciting Allah's name repeatedly. That's what's happening. So first and foremost, those people who do the dhikr of Allah, the greatness I want to give to those, take it seriously, take dhikr of Allah. Those already are doing dhikr, all your life the paths will open up due to dhikr of Allah. This is a great favor of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has allowed you to enter into the next month, and He's given you the dhikr to do. And that if a person starts his life in the qalb, in the heart, with the name of Allah, it starts with that. All other silsilas, the heart is affected last, but in Naqshbandi silsila, that the heart is true first. So my brothers, dhikr qalbi, that you remember Allah from the heart, is a great dhikr. But the difference here is this, that the other dhikr ways, to take the tasbih, recite from your tongue, and you get, yes, that's dhikr as well, but to learn qalbi dhikr, you need a teacher, ustad. You need a person who can teach you, who is authentic, ijaza, going back to the Prophet ﷺ. And today this ghulam is present. He sat in the amongst your shoes, and I consider it my great fortune that you give me the opportunity to be at your service, and such pious people like you, and I am the dust of your shoes. But because this is an asset and a tariqah and a skill that you need to be taught, so with humility and humbleness, I appeal to you that after dhikr, if any brother wants to learn qalbi dhikr, then please come and learn this dhikr, and the rest of your life I will tell you the tariqah, the method, and make your habit in the day, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. Alhamdulillah, you will see how you progress in life. Will you do this, brothers? Will you learn dhikr, all of you? Put your hands up if you will learn dhikr. Put your hands up. Okay, that's good, mashallah, good. So that's it, objective fulfilled. So now we'll do a bit of dhikr of Allah. We'll remember Allah, for which we are gathered together, Subhanallah. Look at Allah's glory. Allah says that this majma gathering, when it comes together due to my name, for my name, there are many gatherings, kings, ministers, presidents, things are spread out, their food, feasts and tables and lanterns and chandeliers. Allah says, that's all there. Decorations and glitter and glory. Allah says, I like that people, broken hearted, gather together, sit down for my name. Allah says, I send angels from the heavens, and they come and they gather, surround the gathering, and envelope it with my rahmah, my mercy. Allah says, then my mercy surrounds those people. So first the wings of the angels spread and surround the gathering, protect it. Then Allah's rahmah spreads around the gathering. Then from Medina, there's a special reward of Medina, the sakina, the coolness, the contentment. Allah says, that starts to descend into the hearts of the people. Subhanallah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, look at the hadith, and then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my special gathering, my special select elite angels, I mentioned the dhakireen from that majlis amongst my elite angels. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So your life this day probably has not come before like this in your life before, and maybe it won't come again. And this is a great day for us, memory day. Allah is forgiving us. Allah is allowing us to remember Him. And our names will be written in the list of those who are forgiven. In Jannah, palaces will be erected for us. Allah will be happy with us. All the sins will be eliminated, annulled. All deficiencies will be annulled, made void. Tell me, has anybody attained a majlis like this in their life in the world? Allah's rahmah and mercy. If this is not what it is, then what is it? Allah's rahmah and mercy looks, excuses, seeks. Where Allah has picked me up from? Where did Allah take you from? Where did Allah gather one? And how did it come into the heart of Hazrat? How people gathered together? All of this is the preparation of Allah. The objective was that Allah Ta'ala wanted this whole village, locality, town to be full of nur ala nur. Blessings upon blessings. Yes? So before this, that if we were to close our eyes, we'd realize how much hisab we have to give, how much the qabr is waiting for us in Jahannam where we've gone down to, our ibadah as riya, showing off pride, we speak nonsense, etc. Before that, we need to think, before coming to the masjid, look, think what was our hal before we came to the masjid today. Allah's massive favor, He's washed everything. He's purified everything, He's cleansed everything. He's cleared everything, He's eliminated everything. So it's lazib upon us, compulsory upon us, that for such a great reward Allah has given to us, we should be grateful to Allah after this. And the great being grateful to Allah is what? That today in our lives we have to promise that morning and evening, definitely we will sit down and do the dhikr of Allah, definitely. Yes, even if it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, why? Because we have to remember Allah, we have to glorify Allah, we have to be grateful to Allah. We'll do this, brothers. This is becoming grateful of this bakshish. Allah says, if I've forgiven you today, Allah says, la in shakartum lazidannakum. Allah says, la in shakartum, that when you're grateful to me, then I will elevate, increase. Allah says, look at the reward, Allah went to the majlis, you forgave my sins. Okay, 2 minutes, I'll sit down to maraqba, remember you. Allah will say, you're being grateful to me, and you will get promotion automatically. And don't be ungrateful, such a great reward Allah has given to us. Such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and it's coming into our naseeb, alhamdulillah. So that we, for this favor and gift of Allah, we should promise Allah that if you give us another majlis, then we will also arrive there, we will go there. And wherever we can get to, if we hear there's a majlis and I'm sat at home, I've got a car, get to that majlis. Drive there. On our site always is updated, there's dhikr here, morning dhikr there, evening dhikr is here and there. Wherever you see the gathering of dhikr is, you got time? What am I going to do? What am I going to do sitting at home? Okay, let me go to the majlis and get my forgiveness. Subhanallah. Yeah? So that person becomes an angel. Now what am I doing here, wasting time here, sitting here, wasting time, sitting here, swearing, backbiting, gossip mongering? It's a 10-minute drive, we'll sit inshallah, and we'll recite, we'll travel, listen to some tilawat, sit down, dhikr, and come back home, and we'll have good benefit, and bakshish, forgiveness, the great rewards. So brothers, let's do dhikr inshallah. First, we'll do dhikr jahar, loud dhikr, just recite the verses after me, then after that inshallah we'll do maraqba, silent dhikr, as I explained to you, then we'll recite durushi, we'll do dua, then inshallah I will teach you and explain to you dhikr of Allah. MashaAllah, our objective of sitting here, we are gathered, so obviously we have discussed some points and Mufti Sahib spoke and I also spoke to you, I've taken a lot of your time up. So we are tired, obviously you're tired and you get drowsy and shaitan comes into a mind. But now become alert. This is dhikr now we're doing. Become alert, focus, don't be lazy, sit alert, upright. The sign of alert is that alhamdulillah, whatever dhikr I recite, with love you need to recite those kalamat, those verses. No person should be silent in this majlis. The angels of Allah are watching, Allah is looking himself. Allah is watching himself. There's nothing to be silent about here. Whatever we do, wird, recite, everyone needs to be included in that. Remember that. So then the laziness will evaporate. Look, the more you become included and you recite, then your feelings and emotions will become good and you will feel very nice. Obviously now you're tired, but when you will depart and leave, alhamdulillah, you'll be nur ala nur. Your heart will be full of light and blessings. So with muhabbat, with love, close your eyes, we'll dim the lights. Just think that subhanallah, glory be to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala is putting nur into my heart and I'm remembering Allah and Allah is remembering me. Subhanallah. So imagine this, think about this. Okay, let's start.